Welcome to the podcast number two from the Shade Seats. Before we start, we're recording this following the untimely passing of Gary Speed. Obviously, this is a difficult time for most Newcastle fans, as it is for all of the clubs that Speed played for. All we'd like to say before the podcast is, rest in peace, Gary. Vous écoutez au podcast A View from the Shade Seats, edition 2. On parle des issues au sujet de NUFC, le foot, la vie et la merde. Et après le début de la saison incroyable, croyons à vous, je vais pour les Français et un de notre Légion Français, Jean Omar et The Nut Shit. Let's get back. Let's get back to the journey, bastard.
Solid.
Again, welcome to the View from the Shade Seats podcast. Now, this is a podcast. If you heard the first one, you'll know what it's about. We are your hosts, Gaza, Robbo and Matty. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Salut.
Okay, lads, so we just briefly mentioned at the beginning there, obviously the episode's slightly tinged with sadness, well, not slightly, massively. I know people have talked about this and people have commented on the passing of Gary Speed. I think we, as we come to the match at the weekend, we don't really want to go too much into it in the podcast. We made our feelings clear on how we felt about Gary, as does everybody else on Twitter. It's a total shock to everyone involved. So again, just as we said at the beginning, we'll be celebrating Gary Speed's life at the match at Chelsea. I hope the club do something to remember him. Just again, shocked when we heard the news. We all obviously got in touch with one another quite quickly. I think, as I said when I was interviewed, I would say to St James's Park on that day that they just kind of leave his family to get on with it and grieve, and let's not speculate on why it happened. And obviously let the guy rest in peace, and we'll always remember him as a great servant of United, as well, no doubt, the other clubs, a consummate pro. So again, rest in peace, Gary. Okay, so moving on. First, I think the first big topic that has hit us since the end of September has been, no doubt, the so-called renaming of St James's Park. I know there was an impromptu NUFC fans meeting so people could get together and air their views. I think people have had kind of time to sit back on it, take it in, understand it. I know we published our feelings and three different feelings there were on that and what it meant, what were the pros, what were the cons.
I know it was a while off, but has anybody's feelings changed since then?
Not for me. The thing that really gets to me is people say, look, it'll always be called St James's Park, and it probably will, but for future generations who've never known it as St James's Park, that's the sad thing for me. Like, you know, there's other brands that have changed their name, and kids will never remember it as what it was, and that's sad. The name should never go. It should be part. It should always go hand in hand with the club.
You know, I mean, mine hasn't changed. I know there was some kind of heated arguments, but heated discussion at the fans meeting about this. Everyone had valid points. Everyone kind of came up there with slightly different views on why it was happening. For me, I'm just still surprised, living quite close to the ground, that they still have St James's Park sign up at the entrance.
Well, they're not going to put them in Sports Direct Arena, are they?
Well,
I'm not on Sky Sports News yesterday when they went live there. Still said St James's Park on the graphic. They stood outside the St James's Park sign at the ground.
McNally,
and they all called it St James's Park.
McNally from the Mirror said the day that the Mirror would always call it St James's Park, and all the local journals have said. So it's not going to make much difference, you know, in the press, in this country, from what we can see anyhow, but globally, I can't see the likes of Fox and God knows what saying, you know,
think
St. James's Park.
The problem with Fox and those, especially the American broadcasters, is that this type of thing is it's not out of the ordinary to them. So if they're told to call it Sports Direct Arena, then they're not gonna ignore it because they're so used to doing it. Like the what's that Home Depot Arena and stuff like that.
Well,
LA Galaxy and
somebody pointed out a good example to me as well. The Bundesliga is like a wash with rebranded stadiums.
They're all new grounds, aren't they? And that's the big argument.
I think
can you rename an old one?
I think somebody counted the amount of grounds that were sponsored names, and it was something like 9 or 9 to 13 grounds were old grounds which had since been renamed. So is it the way it's going to happen in this country?
I think others will follow suit now that somebody's kind of been the first to do it. Floodgates are open now. I think the likes of Chelsea will follow if they don't move to a new ground. Spurs as well, if they don't move to a new ground. And others will follow.
What about the stadium of copyright infringement? I think they might change.
No doubt. I think most of them will change. I mean, I think you hit on the point that the recent fans were really pissed off is because a lot of fans seen it as another antagonistic move. And again, badly timed by the club because just after the... I mean, we had feelings about the ticket, you know, the cost of the new season tickets that were introduced. And now, coming up to the Chelsea game, we're looking at people literally begging for tickets, which is unheard of, particularly in this modern... I know we had it back in the day. And, you know, we paid top dollar for European Champions League matches back in the day, but, you know, paying 40 quid and people begging in this day and age for tickets.
I haven't known that for
cost.
A long
well,
long
no,
time.
Well, no, it's yeah. And,
it begs the question, is it people who are coming back because the football's good, or is it people who are wanting to go now that it's affordable?
Well, I think it's probably a combination. You probably can't really put your finger on it. I mean, those season tickets were snapped up, and rightly so, because that was a good deal. I know... I think me and you definitely, Kaz, felt a bit hard done by, you know, why are the loyal fans kind of getting stung for this? And people have different opinions.
I don't get us wrong. Getting as many people into the ground's great. But I think it was a bit of a double whammy for the season ticket holders who'd already bought them at the start of the season. They bought tickets when nobody knew how we were going to do. In fact, most people thought we were going to struggle. And then the second thing is, you had to take somebody along to get a benefit off the back of you paying full price. There should have been something there by the club that said, right, if you bring somebody along and they buy a season ticket, you get free cup games, or you get a 10% reduction on your direct debits or something. A token gesture to say, look, thanks for bringing somebody along.
They could always
and bringing that extra money into the club.
They always send us some sort of gift pack in the post with it. A badge and...
That's not a bad idea. A pin badge and a stupid little ribbon
and
thing.
Fuckloads of advertising for fuck all.
Well, that was a bag of shite. That one,
no, it was a box of shite.
Sorry, a box. how much would they cost? You know, 3 quid? So, but no, I mean, we're kind of derailed slightly from the topic of renaming us to James's Park. But it kind of ties in nicely because I think what we were talking about at the fans meeting was... The fact that comms are so, well, if they exist, they're so badly timed or actions are so badly timed without engaging the fans that people will see it as antagonistic. If Ashley or Lambias or whoever didn't believe it was antagonistic, why don't just come out and say, look, guys, this is what we're doing, this is the reasons why. But because it's all cloak and dagger, people will start to speculate, grows, social media gets hold of it, and it becomes it's something it shouldn't have been.
It's
a club
more the fact that they just go out there and do it, you know, announce it, all of a sudden, bosh, press release to the press.
Do you not think that it's like the yin and yang of Newcastle United, though? Well, for every good thing that happens on the pitch, they have to do something ridiculous off it to balance it out.
Well, I mean, the thing is, why some people may say all of these things happening off the pitch may be coinciding with actually what is happening on the pitch. You know, getting full stadiums, you know, I mean...
I think the thing is, Lambias, you can say what you want about the man. A lot of people don't like him, and that's fair enough. But he's opportunistic, and the fact that we're doing all right on the pitch means that he can get away, or he thinks he can get away with his crap off the pitch a bit more and hide it behind the fact that, well, hang on, we're doing all right on the pitch, so what's more important to you? played well, success on the field, relative success on the field, or the name of your ground.
Which, to be fair, everybody was up in arms when it first happened, and now anyone's really talking about it again.
That's exactly why they did it.
International break, followed by a couple of away games, home game, hopefully after we've got a couple of points on the board.
I think people still will be upset. I know I haven't spoke to a few lads, you know, they still see, are going to make their opinions heard. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you know, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here, you know, is it really important? Well, yes, it is. Is it really important to us? Yeah, it is, because it's our ground. It's an old ground. It's got a lot of history. Like Gaz said, if you remove that history away, then all of a sudden, I mean, I don't think that will happen. Well, if it remains that, because A, I don't think the Sports Direct Arena name will last very long, but B, I think Newcastle fans are not like other clubs in a lot of ways, because, you know, it is passed down father to son, and there's no way that anybody who has a son or a daughter, whoever goes to the match and starts going, will call that the Sports Direct Arena. So
the thing that also gets to me, though, is that as much as you try and ignore fans of other teams when they're deliberately on the wind-up, it's another stick for them to beat with, isn't it? They're going to deliberately call it Sports Direct Arena just to get on your nerves, and eventually, depending on which idiot it is that's talking to you at the time, you kind of snap, aren't you? So that's why we keep giving other people topics to talk about before, other than playing well and doing well on the pitch, is that's the thing that really boils your piss. For once, it would be great to just be all right on the pitch. Even all right would do, and have calm and serenity off it.
Aye. You really believe that? Would you not miss the air?
Aye.
The roadshow, that is. I mean, there's a difference between...
No, you know what I'm saying. I do.
And
I mean, we all embrace the chaos, really, of being a mag. It's part and parcel of it. You're never going to have an easy ride. But sometimes you just wish that we would stop bringing it on ourselves.
But as I say, regardless if you like the regime or not, they run the place, and we're all in it together. That's why I think that, it's particularly the fans group, all they want to see is some engagement with the club, and, you know, just letting the club
talk to people.
Yeah, well, letting the club realise kind of that outpouring of, I think a lot of the things said and a lot of the things mentioned were just out of shock. So, with regards to that renaming, which again, something that they could have avoided with some open and frank communication maybe a few days before, in particularly when Lambia said there's no way in our regime that this ground will be renamed. So
I want to try and make this a final point on it, because it's been done to death. But if we thought there was some money going to come in from it being called Sports Direct Arena, then I'm sure more people would be understanding. But the fact that it's blatantly obvious that we're not getting anything out of it for the rest of the season, and two, in my opinion, you might not agree, but I have a sneaking suspicion he doesn't really want anybody to come in and take the naming rights. I think he's quite happy having a Gold Sports Direct Arena and having his name all over it.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, he's not really doing the hard sell, is he? And he's had the chance, he's had the opportunity before, but he's not done it. So,
What else can you say about it?
You know what I mean?
Everybody's had their opinion. It's been done to death. It's been 3 weeks since it happened, and I think everyone's opinions are out there, and most people are right.
Right. Well, you know,
fuck this. Let's get back to something positive.
Everybody, everyone loves St James's Park. We'll always be St James's Park to us, and we'll be at St James's Park on Saturday. Exactly. Well, me and you, Manny. So obviously it's been, we do apologise, it's been so long since the last podcast, it's pretty difficult for us to all find a decent time to get together. But obviously from the last podcast when we went over, I believe we went over an hour and a half or just about, we will try and keep it reasonable, but there's a lot to talk about with Newcastle. I think we've played 9 or 10 games since the last podcast, including the Blackburn match. So the last podcast, what kind of feedback have I had, and you know, what's been the feeling? A lot of shite, just basically talking shite. There were some positives. We did get, well, actually, you know, that some of your views were quite informative. And then there was, can you talk more about pies? So
I like your opinion. And can I subscribe to your newsletter?
So, I mean, that was a pilot podcast. We are going to try and come up and get some, I suppose, get some more gadgets and technology to help us produce this, you know, in maybe a slightly better fashion. We do like the raw nature of it.
One bit of feedback I got was, we're too quiet. I was like, how can R possibly be too quiet?
I've got a little tip for the people who are struggling to hear. Turn it up.
Yeah, turn up your speakers. So we'll crack on. I think the 2 month is good. We talked about the Christmas special. Let's see if that, you know, let's see if that appears. Maybe that we do that between Christmas and New Year, perhaps, and let a few games take place before that. But also, we did, if you remember in the last one, we did the predictions from the last podcast, which was the predictions from, was it week? No, that can't be right. Week commencing. Well, it was from the Spurs match anyway. So the Spurs match at home to the Everton match, I asked you to predict the five outcomes of those games. And basically, Gaz, you got one. In fact, you didn't get that correct because it was after extra time. You didn't get none.
I was feeling particularly pessimistic at the time.
So let me give you a breakdown. So Spurs was twos each and you went for 2-1 to the toon. So that was quite optimistic.
But it was,
Matty got twos each on the nose and I got 1-1. Wigan at home, 1-0. That was a hard-fought battle. Again, Matty got that right. So
yeah.
You predicted a draw, Gaz, and I predicted a 3-1 win.
If only I was a betting man.
Well, it should have been 3-1. And then, obviously, you lads went down to Blackburn, which we'll talk about slightly later, because that was quite a strange game. Guys, you predicted a 1-0 away win. Matty, you went for a home Blackburn win, and I went for a Blackburn win as well after extra time. So I was right in the extra time bit, but I got the scores wrong. Stoke game, which was a fabulous match. Guys, you went for 1-1, which was, if I was a betting man, I probably would have went for that.
You are a betting man.
I am, but I don't like betting on Newcastle, particularly when they're playing away at Stoke. So, Matty, you went for 3-1, a home win, and I went for a 2-1 away win. So I got that away win.
Pissed, did I say a home win, did I?
You did. And then in the Everton match, which we won 2-1, Gaz, you went for twos each, Matty 2-0, and I went for 1-0. So between us, we got quite a few right.
Results-wise, we did
all right. I think, you know, we're not Mark Lawrenson. If I was Mark Lawrenson, I'd just say, well, we get beaten all the games.
If you were Mark Lawrenson, you wouldn't have got any route, would you?
We'd be sitting 16th in the table.
You're right, Gary.
In a moment, Gary.
Well, Newcastle are playing really well and Everton are playing really shit, so I think Everton will probably win that one, Gary. Fuck off. Fucking
pie-head. So they really pie-head at Cardiff.
He's got a pie on his head.
Was it a pie or was it a pasty?
I don't know.
Either way,
whichever way, it was fucking hilarious. So.
That's like the cake versus fucking biscuit argument, isn't it? Pie versus pasty. How do you define it? How do you define a cake versus a biscuit?
Well, a pie's round, isn't it?
No, look at Jaffa cakes, right? Are they biscuits or the cakes?
Well, they go stale, so therefore they're a cake. Fuck.
Yeah.
Biscuits go hard. When they go, cakes go hard when they go stale and biscuits go soft.
That's right. So that's why they're called Jaffa cakes.
Yeah, it's something new every day.
For tax reasons, they're called Jaffa cakes. Tax reasons. Ah, there's VAT on cakes or something and not on biscuits. Or the
why?
Because
the increase in size and stuff.
They had to prove they were cakes in court. Fact. I'm not making this up.
I think because cakes make you fat and the government's got a downer on things that make you fat.
Welcome to Radio 4.
Today we'll be discussing cakes. anyway, bye to bye. I haven't had a Jaffa cake in ages. Jaffa
cakes are awful.
They're not
they're horrible.
If you take the Jaffa bit off and have the cake and dunk it in, it's excellent.
It's sexcellent.
Sexcellent.
You're a Jaffa.
Look like a fucking Jaffa cake.
We digress. So, since the last podcast, before the drubbing of Blackburn at home, we were fourth. We hadn't played anyone, mind you. We'd only played a few teams, Fleetwood, a few other teams.
Did we even play Blackburn or Golf? Was it nobody?
Oh, I think it was nobody.
We played nobody about 8 or 9 times in a row, didn't we? Then we played somebody. Then we played nobody again a couple of times.
Then we played somebody else away.
Aye.
And then we played somebody else away.
We played somebody and we only drew at home with somebody. Then we played nobody a couple of more times and then we've just played somebody twice in a row, eh?
But I think
we still only lost one.
The point I was trying to get at was we were fourth when we last did the podcast and we're still fourth. So...
Fuck you, Mark Lawrenson.
Pulled you out. So, no progress whatsoever.
So not bad for a little team from the northeast. So the games, obviously the nine games, I think it's nine, Blackburn, Wolves, Spurs, Wigan, Blackburn away in the Cup, Stoke away, Everton, City and United, so it's nine matches.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
We haven't done...
Doesn't seem that long, though.
We haven't done too bad, have we?
No, we haven't.
No,
not at all.
We've done all right.
Demba's just been lethal, hasn't he? In those
since Ramadan.
Since the last podcast.
Since Ramadan.
Since Ramadan, hey, he's a man's a beast. He's been brilliant, hasn't he? Since probably since that Blackburn game, basically. I mean, did he score in the game before that? Can't remember who the last game was before that.
Fulham.
Was that Leon?
It was Leon, wasn't it?
Leon.
So was that his first goal, Blackburn?
I think it was. Wasn't it? He's hat-trick. Did he have his score before?
I can't remember.
I don't know, you know.
I don't think he did. His first goals were...
I mean, that's not too far into the season, that. 24th
no,
September.
I wouldn't. If you look at the goals since then, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 in those 9 games.
Did he play? Did he play at Blackburn?
I don't think he did.
I did.
I thought it was Balfour and Leon.
No. I'm pretty sure it was...
Christ. Bit of a blur that game.
I can't remember because it was fucking shite.
So not just that though, but two hat-tricks as well. You know, two hat-tricks in those games. I mean, I think the standout games for me were Blackburn. I think that was kind of... I remember saying that it would be a litmus test because that's the kind of team that we've struggled against. I mean, they came to St James's Park 5 seasons previous and beat us in every match. Yeah. And I remember that game before the last season. That's the kind of team that in the past would have muscled us off the ball, got into it and really caused trouble. And basically, I mean, I was in the posh seats for that one. So I've seen a lot of Bars goals up close and we just had it all over. It wasn't even a contest.
We just kind of brushed them aside, didn't we? The type of performance that you really want to see from your team. When a team, struggling team, comes to your ground and you just beat them. No dramas.
The thing is, though, the rest of those games that we've had as well, like, they are the types of games that we'll get probably now.
Well, Wolves, especially the next game, Wolves. I mean, that was a great result. We got a bit of a kicking, if I recall correctly.
We did.
They should have had a second goal ruled out in the last minute.
Yeah.
But Jonas, I've criticised him a lot. Like, but Jonas was magnificent that game.
He was, and I want to tie that together with the Stoke match because that was more of the same. But I think we kind of showed what we were made of there, and coming onto the Stoke match showed what a polished outfit we were. I mean,
because we did it again. Wasn't a one-off. We went and done
exactly.
It again.
And again, that wasn't really a difficult match, but I must laugh about the Wolves match when there was a geezer on Twitter who basically had Twitter meltdown, you know, which we all have from time to time. But this geezer went literally off it, and he was talking about Tony Blair. Sticking up your bollocks, Tony Blair, you bastards. And
Andy Deakin.
He just went, literally, he went absolutely apeshit. It was one of the funniest things I've witnessed, actually, on Twitter. People retweeting this guy to hell. People were blocking him because he was abusing them. And it was just...
Shoving up your bollocks.
Shoving up your bollocks.
Where's me feckin' Labrador?
So, I like those two games in particular from that run. Everton game, I actually thought... Everton and Wigan when we played them at St James Park were actually pretty decent. Played the ball, we weren't really terribly
Wigan
great.
Especially, I thought Wigan were very dangerous. It surprised me because they've really struggled, but when they came up I thought they did well. They do tend to do quite alright up at our place, but it was a good goal though, wasn't it?
It was.
Surprise.
Yeah, 9 minutes to go. Was it against the Magnus off the crossbar? It was like that, but was it against the Magnus?
That was Villa, wasn't it?
A Villa. It was exactly the same as that, but just dipped under a keg of similar.
Good goal, that.
It was a great goal, and I think we did say, didn't we, that in the last podcast, a few games
into that,
he would start to really find his rhythm. I just, as I say, I mean, he scored it again. He scored the late one at Blackburn in the Cup.
I'll tell you what, that we went to two consecutive away games in the League Cup, they were both 4-3, and there was barely a minute of excitement in both games put together. Apart from the 93rd and the 96th minute of the Blackburn game, when I stood there and I turned to you, Palmer, and I turned to Nick when Kabay was lining up the free kick and just said, "That's going in." And when I went in, just stood there, you know, like fucking Cantona when he chipped there, when he chipped that crazy fucking Perez for the Matins. He just stood there with his arms out, just going, "Yes, I knew it."
It was unbelievable, the celebrations there, but obviously we'll come on a bit more about Blackburn later on. But I just remember jumping up and down like a loon, as always, and seeing somebody's feet, like right in front of my face. Some bloke
wasn't Steve Wraith flying through the air again, was it?
I wasn't Coopy.
But I wasn't well, just for a change. I wasn't well, so I was in the house watching that, and in all seriousness, I was really struggling to find a stream for it. So I was listening to the radio, and I knocked it off to go make a cup of tea. I thought, that's it, it's game over, and I just put Sky News on just in time for that last goal, and it was Big Nose. And he was just going ballistic. And I mean, when I looked at the attendance as well, I mean, the attendance at Forest was gash.
But I think there was as many mags.
10,500.
I think there was 5,000 mags and 5,500 Blackburn. They said it was a protest.
Was it a protest? Because I'm pretty sure they get that attendance every week, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you're not far off. But
to be fair, he is a bit cretinous, though, isn't he, Steve Keane?
Yeah, he is. Just
in the Venkies. Dear me.
That's a great
Steve band. Keane
Steve
in the
Keane in the Venkies. They could do it.
Mariachi band.
No, that's my idea. Let me do a cover of the Chicken Song by Spitting Image. That would be great. I'd love to see that. Maybe he's doing it.
Photoshop it.
Steve Keane in the Venkies.
So, like your Sammy Amiobi one. So,
did you know about that?
I did. I've seen it. It was great. So, lads, actually, we did got loads of people laughing, and when I showed me dad went, "Who's that?"
The best thing about it was when I looked at it at first, and I'd seen it about 10, 20 times. I didn't even realise that it was the rest of the Amiobi family in the background. I just saw Sammy. I didn't even look at the rest, and then it just suddenly out of nowhere was Shola's face gleaming. Yes,
with his grin.
I don't know why I made sure that is Carlton, though.
Well, why not?
I don't know. He doesn't come across as a Carlton type, does he?
Carlton Cole. He does come across as a Carlton Cole type.
That's true. Woeful.
Unable to control the ball. Doesn't really score.
Spanner.
Will not be a Shola. Will not be a
Banners it into the goal somehow.
Oh, it's Shola, man. Steady on, lads. You know what I mean?
Amazing.
So, I mean, obviously the talking point down there was kind of halfway through that, Wednesday the 26th of October, when you went down to Blackburn for that match. There was a lot of speculation, a lot of shouting and bawling afterwards, and anger as well, which was vented, which was probably, I don't know if that was justified or not, but there was a lot of statements about people abusing the Newcastle team, the Newcastle fans. A selection of them, don't get us wrong, don't say everyone was doing it, but a selection of them and I heard on the radio a few nasty things. I heard a few people saying they'd heard nasty things, booing the team. In fact, you know, racist comments again was mentioned as it has been. I mean, what was your feeling at the match? I know you were particularly angry at one point about what was happening.
I was, because it was supposed to be a good day out of the match, loads of mags celebrating all the things that's good about being a mag, you know, like going on a Wednesday night there, a League Cup game away, taking thousands there, having a great drink, having a sing song, and supporting the team in a game that essentially is not really all that important. That's, you know, that's what you enjoy about away games, isn't it? And then to get down there and for it to be full of, to put it bluntly, little chava knobheads abusing everybody. They've obviously had too much to drink, they can't handle that beer, and then they're having a pop at all and sundry. That these players have at that point of the season, I mean, well, still, but at that point of the season, were flying high. They were doing absolutely magnificently, all of them. And they're having a pop at the legs at Ryan Taylor. And
where, James Perch?
James Perch, exactly. He was getting dogs abuse. And then Ben Offa, second game back, first start, something like that. And then someone shouting, you effing French, and all sorts. And I'm thinking,
that
give a lot of chance.
That
man.
Fucking mong behind us is lucky he didn't get knocked out. No, not was, by us as such, but there was a bloke. Probably about 55, 60 or so. And this bloke was just, you want to shut up, you like. And seriously, we told him plenty of times just to, you know, pack it in. But
it was everybody with him, though.
Oh, God.
It was indiscriminate against Newcastle, regardless.
Fuck off, Pardew. Make some changes, man. Ah, Tim Crude, you shit.
What are you shouting at? Elliot, you shit, sorry. And fucking anybody, everybody.
Aye.
Anybody, players warming up.
Ah, you're not going to make any fucking difference if you come on. It was mongoloids out in force, to be fair, like.
PC is always there.
You know what I mean, man. I'm not. But no, it was half term. The tickets were readily available. You were able to buy them on the door, and it certainly wasn't the usual crowd that you get at away games.
It happens a lot, though, doesn't it? In my experience, you know, when you get big away followings, you bring a lot of bell ends with you. In the
Championship, though, I went to Barnsley and we took, was it 6,000 or 7,000 fans or something ridiculous like that in the December? And there was a contingent of dafties there as well. But it wasn't that bad. And I don't know whether it's because Newcastle have been playing well. And like people are like, oh, I'm going to bring what? Like my mate who doesn't go to the match. And you know, like, it just spirals a little bit, and kids being off on half term and having a good few too many blue wickeds or whatever the hell it is they drink these days.
It pees you off, and then the same people who were having a pop at all and sundry were the ones who were going the most mental when the equaliser went in.
Aye.
And you think, well, if you're going to rip into the players, you know, don't be the first to call them all fucking awesome and whatever other crap words you use when they turn it round.
OMG and all that.
Yeah, I mean, so again, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, Blackburn's always been a favourite, I think, in Newcastle fans. A, because it's close. B, because it is quite a good place to go. Lots of surrounding towns where you can go if you want. Same as Bolton, really. Games usually not so good.
Very decent away pub as well, which seemed in good spirits, but it was just a little sort of strange edge to it.
It wasn't its usual self. Even outside the Furness.
Probably because who was at the match.
Aye.
I mean, Forest was... I mean, we didn't really see a lot of Forest when we went, but because that's a little bit further...
That was a good laugh.
And it wasn't... It wasn't, you know, it wasn't on a, like...
Half term.
Aye, off, a week when the kids were off. It was actually all right, and plus, I think, there was a lot... I think I heard a lot of... There was a lot of Newcastle fans who travelled up, I think, from London and places like that. And it seemed just a different crowd. And aye. I think... I mean, I've witnessed it as well, and I've been on buses with lads, I mean, most lads, young lads, who've gone a lot younger than me, again, and I don't mind people having a good time, and it's when it gets personal that I don't like it. It's when, I mean, I said it in the last game when they were the booing people at home. I mean, I've had a pop with people for booing. If you don't like it, you know, like if you're watching a shit film, you wouldn't sit through it,
you
fucking leave. So just piss off, you know, don't spoil it for everybody else. Just fucking get out your seat and piss off, because we don't want that kind of fan. In the ground, and to be fair, these same fans, and you know, we've seen it already, and I don't know what it's like now, but didn't we discuss it the last time about this lads moving into seats? You know, if everyone could just be nice to each other, we're all supporting the same team, you know, just calm down, lads. You know, it's at the end of the day, you wouldn't want to see yourself banned from the games. So, and the way, not just I think United, but the way most teams now are looking at as troublemakers, I think, and if they're desperate for people. No, what fine way of getting rid of someone and let someone else have their seat when they've already paid for it.
Aye.
I think, you know, it's something the club would probably gladly do. So, I mean, obviously we're out of the cup. I think, I don't know if we'll be playing tonight.
We'll be Cardiff tonight, I think.
Aye, Cardiff.
So,
I mean, instead, Blackburn will take about 10 fans and it'll be pish.
And get knocked out.
Aye, and they'll get knocked out.
So, I mean...
And then Manu will get Cardiff in the next round.
What can you say about it? You know, we got knocked out. You know, we didn't. I don't know that we dwelled on it too much. But, you know, you've just got to accept this. There's nothing to do to change it. So just get on with it. But again, I think a lot of fans were disappointed because I think we could have done really well. Particularly, and this is the last piece on the games, seeing as the last two games we've played have been against pretty much full strength Man City and Man United, who are also in it. And obviously Man City's playing, as we're recording this, Man City are playing Arsenal in the Cup. I think, drawn at home, we could have had a chance. And perhaps even away, we could have had a chance with beating some of these teams. So I think that's what's disappointing for people. But however, you also need to look at the fact that it's less games for a really small squad. I know not many, but it still can be a critical part of the season.
Definitely.
So,
but the thing is, though, if we played Man U, then we would have to get that ref or the linesman again, wouldn't we? Well, not the ref, because he was bollocks, but... Yeah, a bit of a Pardew backhander, bit of a quickie run the bike sheds or whatever with the linesman.
Wasn't he in the RAF or something like that, linesman, apparently, from the Man U game?
No, he was running the line.
No, he was in the RAF, apparently.
Was he?
Good eyesight for him, I'm one in the RAF, I think.
By the way, we do like the RAF, by the way.
Well, that was a backhanded, it was a backhanded compliment to the RAF, really.
Great eyesight and things.
Great eyesight. That's just shit lines.
That bollocks, man. They've had fucking so many bloody decisions over the years.
Like, I know. It was pretty funny. Like, yeah, it was fucking hilarious.
Fergie's face was a fucking treat. It looked like a bossed balloon.
A
bossed balloon,
by the way. A bossed balloon, by the way. Pure brand new, that. On free kick, by the way. That's pure shite. So, I mean, that was great. Looking at his face, and he, you know, I mean, his face is red, but I mean, this was Alicia.
It was
a Steve Bruce shade of purple, and that's fucking saying something because that bloke looks like he's a heart attack waiting to happen.
You can tell when Ferguson's pissed off though, because he starts chewing with more power than the other.
Great nom 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 nom!
Fucking hell, man, Fergie. See what doing, son?
Surprised he hasn't got a jawline like Desperate Dan. The amount of chunk will be gone soon. Well, obviously, it keeps them calm. Imagine without it. So, but anyway, so we're in a great position still. We're still in fourth. You know, we've got some really good games coming up. We've got Chelsea at the weekend, Norwich away, which is winnable. No disrespect to Norwich, but that's a winnable game. We should be looking to win that.
Quite well at home, though. So
they are, and I think, you know,
well, no games are white over anymore.
Of course, you know, but we beat Wolves, we beat Stoke away. You know, we've got a point at Man United. We'll beat the Magnums, you know, shoot these up games we can win. Chelsea home, Norwich away, then two really winnable games for us. If we're looking at that, Swansea and West Brom, and then Bolton away on Boxing Day. So
we're not getting out like that.
It's we could still be up there.
That's why I can
say it's true.
We could still be up there, couldn't we? After
maybe
Christmas.
Why not?
So let's see what that goes, but I'll be getting your predictions later for those, so I can embarrass you duly in the next one as well. So, should we take a break, lads?
Aye.
Right
here. Aye.
I'm the dreamer, the poet, the heart and the lungs of this land. Charismatic and fun, I can laugh off the bounties you hand. Cause in 15 years time when you're lost I'll be still in demand. You'll be working the bins on a wage of about 7 grand. You'll never make your imprint on my soul.
Hello, welcome back. That was the twats from the long stands. Sorry lads, but it was Trev, wasn't it?
It was Trev.
I went to see Trev from the Long Sands, and when I went in, he says there was a right twat in here earlier with a hat on. I says, "What, this hat?" And pulled it out. He went, "Aye, are you that twat?" I says, "Aye, I'm the twat in the hat."
That was the day when we saw Wraith and Steve Hastie and that didn't want to
all running out the gate.
Aye, Steve Wraith being manager of the Long Sands, who organised the gig and then pissed off before he finished. So Trev just wrapped it up.
But he did abuse everyone after the gig, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Or was it just me?
Well, there was only like me.
There was only me and you in there, so. Hey, Nazi, so. But great bunch of lads. Looking forward to seeing them on Saturday. This on a band I've never heard of.
No, me neither.
The Q.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Should be good.
So that's the Fans United Christmas party.
It is. So.
Which is it fully subscribed yet?
I would presume so. Yeah, I've heard a lot of talk about it. Well, even if it's not, as long as the people who've been going regularly turn up, because you know, a good crowd.
I think the last I saw was a good 40 people, so was he going like
that's enough, isn't it? Yeah. I'm sure a few people are bringing along pals or what.
Cardiff are beating Blackburn, are they?
Watching a match. Oh, we're just talking about that, aren't we?
Tell you, Blackburn are getting beat.
Oh, the Smugs are getting beat off West Ham.
But is that really?
Leeds are winning 2-0 away.
Wet spam.
Piquillon. Say that in French, Robert.
Piquillon.
Piquillon.
Well, right, moving on. So, two...
Oh, the Heat are getting beat now, for fuck's sake.
I just drove past the Grund, the Cobalt was tracking.
Never played away.
Sarcasm.
I see. I hear
you. See what you did there.
So, two kind of... Well, two, I suppose, contrasting pieces of news recently. Our friend Sammy Amiobi gets a new contract.
Sammy Amiobi.
Which is good news for the young lad. He's been, I know he's been relishing it.
He's like the anti-Nile Ranger, isn't he?
He is. He's a breath of fresh air, man. I love the kid. So. He's just got the right attitude, hasn't he? For when you see a young kid coming to playing for the club that they've always wanted to play for, to see them being so proud of it and grasping the opportunity. And even if it doesn't work out for him, you know, you can tell that he's given everything.
He does seem like a special
unlike the guy you've just mentioned.
Which is the other piece of news.
Off the band.
So I'd like to see, although Newcastle is or has been tagged as some sort of, or has become... some sort of cosmopolitan type effort, especially down the Quayside where you don't see any Geordies anymore. But if he behaves like that in a town like Barnsley, then...
You get kicked off.
Well, you know, let's just say he'll probably be told off by a few people.
To be fair, it's no surprise he's gone out on loan, though, is it? Because isn't he not allowed out in town centre at 9 o'clock or something? No.
Well,
so he couldn't have played.
The thing is, Barnsley's like fucking Middle-earth off Lord of the Rings. Fucking hell.
Lord of the Rings, man.
I hope nobody from Barnsley's listening, like.
I've never seen Lord of the Rings. No surprise there, but I just get the impression.
It's full of small people and
just people walking.
Walking, aye.
Just people walking for six hours or something.
The best part of it is, though, at the end, these fucking giant birds come and rescue them. Why didn't they just fucking take them to start off with and it would have been done and dusted within an hour?
And then anybody would have had to put up with all the bloody Lord of the Rings references forevermore.
That's true. And on that note...
Like Star Wars. Never seen Star Wars either. That's a Radio 4 programme, isn't it?
It is, it's a Radio
Never seen Star Wars.
People talk about the fact that they've never seen Star Wars.
No intention of ever watching Star Wars either.
Not even the Geordie Star Wars.
I've seen Geordie Star Wars.
Oh, right, okay.
Like the Smoggy Postman Pat. Have you seen that?
I've seen Smoggy Tintin.
Smoggy Postman Pat as well. He's a right punt him like
this
and stuff like that.
So was it a Smoggy Postman partner? There was a whole bunch of them on YouTube, wasn't there? That some Smoggy had dubbed over, which were quite rude as well. So, you know, when kids were putting in Postman Pat in, they were getting
the tin,
you fucker.
The internet's mint.
No, I think the only one I remember about that one was when he burst in the door, he goes, for fuck's sake, fucking eBay. Hey, Smoggy Postman Pat had caved his back in.
He'd be loving it at this time of year, wouldn't he?
Oh, dear me.
Been playing that common, that 2150 memory cards.
Fucking, who orders mail order Palmos?
Mail order Palmas. No, thanks.
Fucking hell, Postman have a big sack for that.
Yeah, boom, I mean. Boom. Speaking of big sacks.
Well, you heard about his illness. Right?
His scrotal abnormalities.
It's just the normal size of it.
So, I was going to say how did we get on. I was going to say how did we get on from Nile Ranger to scrotums, but I think that speaks for itself. Two hashtags that obviously have come to light since the last one, and you know how much we love our hashtags. For those of you that don't know, hashtags are something that are used on Twitter to, I suppose, when people are running searches that groups them together. So yeah, obviously hashtag NUFC, our famous one, hashtag Your Best Is Mint, which people jump on as well. So there's two, I think one of them, I don't know if we actually created this one.
It was Diane, wasn't it?
But yeah, it was, which was Moves Like Palmer.
It was definitely Diane, that one.
Which was reference, which was a reference to Moves, the new Maroon 5, which, to be fair, is quite catchy, and I do like the video. Moves Like Jagger. So
you only like the video because it's got Mick Jagger on.
Well, yeah.
To be fair, Robbo does a
and he does
tremendous impression of Mick Jagger.
He does fantasise about Mick Jagger's lips wrapped around a certain thing. So
he's old and ugly.
Me or
like,
Jagger?
Just like Mick Jagger.
What a kid.
He is, isn't he?
Who, me or Jagger? Or both?
We're
both wearing lousy vests, like. And are quite baggy and loose, because we're both so skinny. So that was funny, and I know that. But the thing is,
that
totally ruined the song for us now. So every time I just picture Matty just grinding away on something.
So, so to be fair, that pre-game was, I can't remember what game it was.
Was it Evan?
No, I don't think it was Evan.
Was my.
Was it
what?
Not? No, it wasn't.
Actually, it wasn't. I don't think.
I didn't think it was.
It could have been Spurs.
Was it not Wigan?
I think it was Wigan.
I think it was pretty much Wigan. When people who'd never met Palmer before and actually didn't even know who he was 2 minutes beforehand were singing Moves Like Palmer knew in the pub.
A shot was Wigan? Was that?
It wasn't Everton. Because Wopal Dickey was out, wasn't he? But Everton.
Aye, that's right. Aye, so he,
it was an early kick-off.
So that I think that will stick probably for the season. Well, until people forget about that song, which is
apparently never, because it's like shit in a field. That fucking song.
By the way, Andy Greasy Haired Carroll has just had a penalty saved. Well, about 10 past 8. So
just stop reading Twitter in the middle of the podcast. That's unprofessional.
10 past 8. It's 9 o'clock.
Proper unprofessional, you think?
That's because we're talking about these tits.
He's lost interest.
So,
well, I fucking see them every day, don't I? So, you know,
fucking keep your top on.
Can I help it? I love soaping them up.
Moving on. Occupy.
I want my baby back. Baby back. Ribs.
I'm dead sexy.
In my belly.
Actually, fucking hell, it's uncanny.
I'll tell this person again.
Get off my telly.
Fucking linesman.
So the other one, moving swiftly on, was Occupy the Top 4. Was that us or was that someone else?
That was Gary Aram.
I actually, I was sitting at work and I had a sudden epiphany that it would be kind of funny to just do an Occupy the Top 4
poster. For what?
So as per the usual, I just sent an email to Paul and fancy Dean some Photoshop. Give him like 3 lines of brief and then like 10 minutes later this perfect
and then
Occupy the Top 4 poster.
We've got the brief off bloody We Are The Mags for using the term We Are The Mags.
Huh?
I haven't copyrighted it, you curd.
Curd.
So talk about We Are The Mags moving nicely on.
Hey, that was a nice link. It was unintentional.
What a great link.
I was going to say what a segue. Speaking of segues, etc.
What?
Segway, you're not on your musical terms. When you move from one song into the next, it's called a segue, which is where the segue got its name from.
I didn't know that actually.
Yeah,
it is. Now, man, it's full of knowledge tonight.
I'll Google it later for you.
Make sure you do. But moving on to We Are The Mags, a certain angry magpie from Southampton. He was a great lad, by the way.
Angry Mag.
It is shirt. He gave us a shirt to raffle.
Anthony Gerrard.
God of 2-0. He gave us a shirt to raffle and we raised 250 nick F.
Can I interject a sec? That is the greatest name ever. Callum Willock.
No,
that's fucking brilliant, that is.
Is his name not Callum Willock Penn? Oh, no, Callum Willock Penn. Right.
What a fucking name.
So anyway, it interrupted.
Sorry, We Are The Mags.
We Are The Mags shirt, which you donated, which we sold in my place of work, and also tickets in the Labour Club.
And online.
I don't think we did we get much online. Well, if we did, it went straight to charity. So, £250 that race, so that was
Mr. Mark Ellison.
Great. Woo. Still hasn't, by the way, that still hasn't been claimed, but we haven't had a home game, and we're confident that whoever has bought that goes in the club and checks if they've won it on match day. It was ticket number 420, I believe. If you're listening to this and you bought a ticket from the mail,
if you can manage to put up with the rest of the fucking crap, and then you actually hear that, then fair enough.
So I think we talked briefly, and now I'm not sure if this was the Everton game, but can you remember the which is, I think, is a fantastic name for a book, is The Fake Death of Jodie Dancer and The Scotch Egg Off.
Yeah.
Was that the Ebbett match?
Yeah, it was. Diane was definitely at that one.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she got a bit of abuse, bless her.
Obviously,
I think it was when the Scotch Egg Off was after. No, no, it was before the game, because I spat my dummy out and said I'm not going to the vaults because it's fucking cash.
It was Papa Ram had done one of his Scotch eggs, which at the time I thought was Piri Piri chicken, but it turned out to be something else completely. Or did I think it was kebab? And it turned out to be Piri Piri chicken.
No, no, you're thinking of a different time with the Piri Piri chicken. Anyway, it wasn't kebab. Was it not?
No, it turned out not to be kebab. After I showed Pat around the video of the Scotch egg off, and he's gone, but what's he talking about? Kebab, like, it wasn't even kebab.
Do you want to explain what happened?
No.
No.
So
basically, we're in the vaults, and one of the lads that we'll meet before the games, I offered him one of these Scotch eggs, and he, as he has a habit of doing, he tried to offer it to the stripper who was on the floor at the time, literally on the floor. And
it was the greatest stripper in the world at the time, by the way.
It was, by the way. And then the DJ Gadji, he saw what was going on.
It wasn't a normal one, though, was it?
It wasn't. It was a different fella. He was kind of funny, to be fair. And he saw what was going on. All right, Palmer, he just snorting, drinking on it. He saw the crack and he's like, what the hell's going on here? So we offered him one of the Scotch eggs and he nearly vomited at the smell, which, to be fair, was fucking rancid. And then he got two people up there, either Scotch egg as fast as they possibly could, doing a pint. And they're both nearly hurled.
Nice. Right, so you know that song when you try and eat something too quick. At the end of the day, to be fair to the DJ, you give them both a pint. Because those... even though I had two of them Scotch eggs and I was hallucinating. later on that day, I don't know what the hell was in them.
It was definitely the Scotch eggs that caused that. Not the multiple beers, the whiskey chaser things we were having later on.
The Jägers.
Frutantes.
Frutantes. And then we went to the old man's disco in the Percy. And there was only about four people there and three of them was.
What a great day,
eh? Oh, it was great. And that was the day when you were... when you nearly got chinned off Trev, wasn't it? Was that the
yes, no, no, it was, it was. And it was also, as I say, the fake death of Jodie Dancer. They went, where the hell's Jodie Dancer? He's late. And I says, I think he's died. And then within 10 seconds, everyone's gone, Jodie Dancer's dead. Jodie Dancer's dead. It's gone, eh?
Is he? Text gone around Newcastle saying
he's dead. I went all the way around the boozer and then back to Robbo and Robbo guns. Fuck, is he dead? You started it.
And then, he arrived on stage.
And he looked dead, to be fair. He's looked dead since he appeared on Soccer M in the early 2000s.
Wait, forever.
One trick pony there, Jodie Dancer. I hope you're not listening, like.
Do you really care?
You think he uses the internet? Well, actually, I'll take that back.
There's a video of him on YouTube dancing like Jodie Dancer in Sainsbury's. So he probably works at Sainsbury's somewhere.
No, somebody, he was probably just out shopping in Sainsbury's, wasn't he? And somebody goes, oh, look, it's the Jodie Dancer, and he just starts dancing.
I'm not talking about on the shop, he's in some canteen upstairs or something, doing his stupid dance. Anyhow, bollocks to him.
Is that a lie?
Kid you not. Kid you not.
So, hold on a minute, pause, I'm going to find it on YouTube. Link later.
So, listen, I think... We mentioned the tickets for Troops singing the last one. United for Newcastle have managed to get some tickets, which I'm still trying to work on to get donated to local charities for the forces. Still a few tickets to get in, but then there's obviously no hurry for the Category C matches. But I'm slightly worried now about the kind of way tickets are flying out and if we can do that. So I've still got that in hand. I still have those tickets for United for Newcastle. I'm still working on getting those. So I have them documented and I will update everyone on that. But again, fabulous effort by the club to do what they did for the troops. That's Netto's lemonade coming up there. So there was one point on here. Hijacking the Macam pool for Steve Bruce. Obviously rumours flying around about the sacking of Bruce, and is he gone? Is he not gone? Has he gone bad? Yes, we all know he's gone bad.
I think he's doing a brilliant job, man.
So is this? I take it this was the poll from the Sunderland Echo where they said, well, "What do you want? Do you want him in, out, shaking all about?" What was
that after Blackburn? Well, see how he does at Blackburn. See how he does at Wolves.
Right.
Keep him in at the end of
wait
the season.
Wait until the new year. Wait until the end of the season and all that. Didn't they set up a page for people to put comments on as well?
The comments were hilarious, to be fair.
It was just
Laurie
McMenemy and that coming on in person. Here, there's no cheesy chips left and all that.
He's doing a sterling job.
He's great, mate. I
kind of believe people want him sacked. But just a quick one on that. It was going around last night. Hilarious comment. The poll itself, it's something that fucking...
Very Macamesque, but it was
something that those bellends do down the road, isn't it, really? Hijack the Mags pool.
So I personally think, well, by the next time we do this, he probably won't be there, but...
Nah, he can't have long left now, can he?
Agent Bruce, he only gets so many chances. I mean, I think, didn't I? I posted something yesterday on Twitter from my personal account about the next run up of games up to Boxing Day, and I did say they'd be looking to get 3 points out of those games, in current form, by the way. So, you know, when we're looking at somewhere in the lines of 12 to 14 on current form, so it's not looking good for the Magums if they continue in this vein.
Relegation form, though, and I honestly don't think they'll get relegated. But that
form-wise, you're right. I think it is
just they need to do something.
I don't think they'll go down like, but no. They're not as good as they thought they were at the start of the season.
To be honest, when
some of the players came in at the side, I actually thought, you know what, they'll probably do them a decent job.
They're still hopping on about...
let down by ex-Man U players in the same way that we have been in the past.
They're still hopping on about having a better team on paper, though.
Well, what fucking good's that?
On what evidence now, though?
We had a better team on paper when we went down than half the bloody league.
I know. At
the start of the season, you could possibly argue it on paper. But on what evidence are they using at this stage now?
Right, I mean,
argue that.
Rather than harp on about the Magnus, if you cast your mind back to the second game of the season, and, you know, I think there was a lot of Geordies that were fearful of that match because of what was said pre-season and the teams on paper.
Yeah, I hold my hands up. I was one of them. Yeah, I honestly thought we'd be right down there this season.
I thought we'd be mixing up in, you know, mid to sort of lower bottom, like, but I didn't think we'd be right amongst the mix because some of the teams are at a pish.
Mm.
But I thought the Magnums would be up, you know, 10th, 11th or so. But
well, as I said before, and I know I went mad last Saturday, I forget his name, he's from the Scouser from the Daily Mirror. I posted a picture of him and just I said a swear word next to it. But he was
saying that does the betting.
The league doesn't lie. The people who say that are liars. No, it fucking doesn't. If you win games, you get points. Like you said before, guys, there's no easy games in the league. You've got to play everyone. So, you know, the FA doesn't every year say, well, actually, what we'll do is, yes, then we know they manipulate fixtures for the TV, and there's big weekends and derby weekends. That makes it easier for the police, etc. But, you know, like we said before, we've played...
We've only played two teams, though, haven't we?
Well, we've nearly played everybody in the division. What, 13 games in now? 14?
13.
We'll play Man U on the 4th of Jan.
So what? After the next 6 games, we'll have played everybody in the division. Will they still argue that we haven't played anybody yet?
Probably.
Aye.
Well, see, we're looking, you know, looking with...
We've got 26 points from...
People said we're lucky on Saturday, but their goal was as lucky as you'll ever get. Granted, we did right by luck at times in the back, but we made that look by good defending. And then their goal was ridiculous.
Aye.
So you
but nobody mentions the fact that was lucky. They just talked about the penalty.
Well, you go back to sometimes you create your own look, and I think that's what we did at Man U.
I think that's definitely true. The more effort and endeavour you put in, the more likely you are for luck to go your way. And people say the penalty was lucky, but Ben Arthur ran at him, and he knew that he was either going to beat him or the man was going to have to make a tackle. And Ferdinand made the tackle, and we got the penalty.
And the tackle was a good tackle, wasn't it?
But the point is, the more you run at them in the box and the more you make them tackle, the more likely you are to win penalties. That's why teams at the bottom, they'll go, how come we never win any penalties? We've got no luck. It's a fact that you're at the bottom because your attacking players aren't very good.
Yeah.
And they're not running at people. And therefore, you're not getting the opportunity to win penalties.
So you create a situation where there's a good chance you could win a penalty.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, right. I would agree with that 100%. Yeah.
So. Well, I was going to say they were lucky to have all their players on the field at the end of it as well. Cause
absolutely.
What's that little scrawled called?
What was your...
Fabio.
What was your thoughts on the Rooney thing with Colaccini?
Yellow card.
I think people went extreme saying that it was like disgusting and stuff. He should have been booked, I thought.
Oh, he should definitely have been booked.
But I tell you what, though, that moment when Ben Arthur just appeared in the frame, because we were watching it in the pub on the telly, and he just appeared in the frame, and you knew he'd ran about 40, 50 yards to get there, and you just saw him pointing at his temple and going absolutely mental.
He's kicked off about that because Rooney's second kick could have quite easily broke somebody's leg.
2-0 Liverpool.
Who scored this?
But you also have to realise as well that the season before, obviously, Ben Arthur suffered a serious injury.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, is why he's ran back. Yeah. Because he's had an injury happen to him because of some...
But fucking that situation where Rooney didn't get a yellow card and Ben Arthur did, for that is ridiculous. I mean,
and then Fabio,
basically what the referee's saying is, you can kick the living shit out of somebody, but don't complain about it.
Well,
Kabay's get a yellow card.
Kabay's yellow card? What? He threw the ball back towards a Man U player for either throw-in or the free kick, and he got a yellow card because apparently he did it in a petulant manner. What about all them? What about all them fuckers haranguing the referee and the linesman? You know what I mean?
Fucking
it's just unbelievable. I thought the referee was shit.
Must admit, when I was talking about that. The Man U players, and if you cast your thoughts back to a few seasons ago, where that was kind of in the fray for the whole respect piece, that I was saying to the one of the lads in the pub that it reminded us when I was at uni doing the biology, that it reminded us of when all of these chimps would come down from the tree and they'd see like a wounded animal and they'd all go up and harangue it and basically kill it. And that's Man U. I mean, there was a player there. Was it Vidic? There was one of their defenders that ran all over the pitch just to have a pop at the ref. Now, for me, that's totally why has that started to happen again? You know, what's happening with that whole respect thing seems to have kind of just, you know, drifted away into nothing. So for me, it's horrendous.
It's bad, but I think you touched on it when that respect campaign was going on. One of the things you said, and it rings true, is the refs have got to earn that respect. Yeah, but when the decisions are making are diabolical, they've got to expect some comeback. Granted, it shouldn't be the way that the Man U are doing it. The way it happens in rugby is probably the better way of doing it. Only the captain can speak to the referee. If anybody else wants to talk to the ref,
that's
what to the captain.
It's supposed to happen.
Why don't they stick to that, and why don't they start booking anybody who talks to the ref who isn't the captain? Say, look, fucking zero tolerance. You speak to me, I'll book it.
The mad thing is...
And they'll stop doing it.
As well, though, is... I don't know if you remember, did you see the fair play tables last season? We were like third, fourth, bottom or so, right? Man U, Chelsea, those types up the top. And I don't understand how the fair play thing works. Does it work on yellow cards? Does it work on bookings? Does it work on respect to referee? Because I know that's one of the criterias in it. How can they have any respect to the referee, and how can they be like judged accordingly? It's just, it's baffling.
It's embarrassing, and when you see nothing done about it, it sends a message out that, actually, oh, well, man, you were doing it, we do it. You know, and it's, you know, the worldwide audience, so it becomes just normal. And that's something that, you know, I wasn't really... happy about seeing it. It's something I don't like. I think it's a gang culture thing. It's, you know, the refs doing a job, you know, and for once, I think, well, exactly. And, you know, if you make, fair enough, can you remember that game a few seasons ago, that poor, I think he was a Norwegian or Danish referee at Chelsea.
Oh, he was getting death threats and that.
I think he missed a clear penalty, he missed something else. And to be fair, I think we talked about it in another context, but if you're put in a situation where you have to do your best, and he did his best, but he obviously wasn't ready for it. I think it was his first or second maybe Champions League match, and he's put in front of Chelsea versus Barcelona. and he makes a mistake like that, or he makes a few mistakes. As soon as you make a mistake like that, it's always going to be on your mind. You've seen it. How many times in the past have you seen refs give a bad decision, and then before the end of the game's out, they make a counter decision?
Well, we were saying it on Saturday after the penalty decision, fully expected either a penalty to them, a red card to us, something to balance it out. Then Jonas got his red card, and to be fair,
it was
probably two yellow cards.
It was
so daft. Granted, that doesn't really fit into the argument. But
he should have still fucked Nani right in the face, though.
He'd have equalised. Super John Shaw.
Good to him, as well. He's a good player.
I saw Callum Willock score again before. He's not called Callum Willock Penn after all.
Right, so obviously we're talking about things that weren't planned on, but it's good. It's good. They're good conversational pieces. So the Fans United group, obviously, it's still going. I know the likes of Steve Red, Steve Hasty, Zora, and a few of the other people who go regularly, Kev and a few of the bods, really kind of getting into it now. They're seeing some good statements made, fans discussing important matters. Keep plugging away. You see the Tickets for Troops thing that we talked about the last time, which is good. We know the club's listening. We're inviting the club to the meetings. All fans can come to the meetings, so it's still going. I think it's good. Maybe, there's been some chitter chatter about why the likes of True Faith and NUFC.com and perhaps other groups aren't coming or aren't being representative. Maybe they're turning up at the club and maybe they have an agenda. I mean, that's their business, but this is an open forum where the fans obviously discussing what's happening at United. There's been an emergency meeting or what was called an extraordinary meeting or whatever they're called, to discuss the St James's park renaming. So I'm pleased that that's going, that continues to move forward. I know we've obviously been represented at every one of those meetings by at least one of us. So I hope that continues to move forward, and I hope that more good stuff comes out of that. And eventually, ideally, what we want is we do want some open communication from the club. But I think if we continue to do it, what we could be looking at is building a good, solid foundation of fans. So, in the event that we do change regimes or, new management comes in, and it could be a management that or management group that's willing to listen to the fans, we're in a good place. We've been meeting for, a while. They maybe listen to us. Maybe we can have some representation. We're not trying to be another trust. We're not trying to be
voice of the fans, anything like that.
We're just trying to get a wide range of views and opinions,
and trying to take them to the club.
Well, exactly, and it's very simple. So I think it's great. If you don't know, the NUFCFansUnited.com is the web address. If you look up NUFC Fans United, I think on Facebook there's a group. Join the group. I know Steve Wraith and other people are publicising events, gathering thoughts on there, and there's a few administrators of that group running that. So, it's good. Even if you don't want to attend the meetings, if you want to get your opinion across, you can always email the Fans United group, or you can mention things on Facebook.
Or you can email the likes of us, and
Exactly. So we'll always be willing to pass on any questions, anything you want to say. And I know there's we're trying now. I know there's a few of us trying, and me included, trying to get some of the foreign NUFC fans groups involved as well, getting their opinion. It's a lot easier for us to I suppose understand what's going on if we're going to these meetings, if we're buying the Chronicle. I know the internet's a great tool, but there's something, I think it's a lot different when you're actually living in Newcastle compared to the forum groups. But they're just as much fans as anybody else, and they've got a right to get their opinion across and get their thoughts across. So if you want to do that, you can send us emails or send them emails. Again, NUFCFansUnited.com. So spot on. The last podcast we talked about pies and savouries. We've already mentioned Scotch eggs. I just wanted to mention that there's a website being created, and it's Northeast based, and it's called Private Pie.
Private Pie.
Private Pie. And the Twitter moniker is at private_pie. Now, this is Pie Club, apparently. No, don't talk about Pie Club, don't eat Pie Club, all that good stuff. But part of this private pie group are trying to get entrepreneurial pie makers to come to the events, bring a pal, bring a pie, talk about pies, eat pies. So you guys, I don't know if you've seen this guy before, seen the website. You just look a bit stunned, but you also look very excited.
Well, there's two rotund chaps, then, you know, pies are, you know.
So, at Private Pie, so we want to be checking that out.
Well, can we not just rip the 25 pie days of Christmas, or whatever it was I did last year?
You could, if you wanted to.
To be fair, it's, what's the date today, 30th of November?
I'm not doing it again.
Tomorrow.
I haven't got any 25 anythings of Christmas for the website yet.
25 great moments, I think.
I can't think of any.
Just mentioned about 4 or 5 on this podcast.
25 shit great games of that we've ever seen.
Oh yeah, that's too.
That's too easy, that one.
And it's too many.
Could be fucking 10 a day.
So, right, I asked a trivia question. Remember that trivia question in the last podcast? That confused the shit out of you.
Did we have any answers for that?
No, we did. It was, I said, the question was, it was all about numbers. What tone would you get if you answered these questions correctly? And I said, remember, years should be the years and not the centuries. So if answers were 1932 and 1968, they would be 32 plus 68. I says, add the following to get your golden number. And it was, funny enough, it was Nile Rangers squad number, which was 30. The number of team trophies won by Kevin Keegan at NUFC as manager was 1. The year Freddie Shepherd became chairman of NUFC was 97. Number of top flight championships won by NUFC was 4. Number of FA Youth Cups won by NUFC, 2. Stan Seymour became the manager, 39. And total goals scored by NUFC in the first cup winning run of 68-69, 24. And the answer was 197.
Fucking hell, that's a lot of goals.
So.
Alright.
No comment. So, Q&As. Q&As, then we'll have a quick break. Q&As, so this is, we asked people on Twitter to come up with some questions and obviously for us to answer. Taylor and Bestie have asked us, think you should talk about the insistence of some fans to look for a scapegoat to blame, even when we perform well. Obviously, we touched on it.
We did, and I think this is, this Ryan tends to be
even like, when we perform well.
It tends to be people who want to get a voice on forums, on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever, and they think that being by being controversial or by saying something very opinionated that they can get their name known, start getting some followers by being notorious or whatever they want to do, you know. Tits, really.
Yeah, but it's always
you
the
don't
case,
have to, there doesn't have to be anyone to blame for a poor performance. It could just be a poor performance.
Yeah. And it was like we talked about, I talked about it to one of the lads about Gary Speed and the fact that he was always self-critical of himself when he had a bad game. And when he played for United, I mean, that was rare, to be fair.
But he got a lot of criticism in his early days as
He did.
And it goes, and this is quite pertinent, actually, because of the argument about Ryan Taylor. Gary Speed was one of our most consistent players when he was playing in his proper position. When he signed, he was played out on the left as a left winger, just because he had a left foot, and he wasn't particularly good at it. And it just goes with Ryan Taylor as well. The kid's essentially a right midfielder playing at left back. You're not going to get world-class performances out of somebody who's blatantly out of position. What you should be doing is saying, you know what, fair play to him. He's putting a shift in every week. He's not doing anything really calamitous. And eventually, let's be honest, eventually he's going to be phased out and Santon's going to come in. Whether Rayla goes to right back and Simpson gets dropped, or whether he just gets dropped and Santon comes in at left back, eventually that will happen.
Yeah.
So while he's in the team and while he's doing enough to stay in the team, then you've got to back the left.
But then you've got to look at those two games which we wouldn't have won if he wasn't.
Well, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Exactly.
I think it's I do think that there's a difference as well, and this is just an individual thing as well. Some people would see somebody saying we didn't have a good game as criticism, and usually it's fact.
It depends on the tone, doesn't it?
It does.
On the tone of delivery.
And it's social.
Someone saying Ryan Taylor's and shit is different
drop
to somebody
him,
saying
drop him,
he didn't play particularly well, did he?
Yeah. So I mean, the social media is bad for that, especially when you've only got 140 characters to say something in. And I think a lot of things are taken out of context, but yeah, I mean, fans are fans. That won't just be our club, it'll be every club, and
of course it is.
It's something that I think, but I think I agree with what you said. I think, you know, some people do it for sheer publicity.
I'm sure they do.
Right.
I'm sure they do.
Okay, so, next one. NUFC Kev, what areas do we need to strengthen? Not sure what strengthen means, Kev. However, in January, to have a legitimate chance of a top six finish, well, we're in the top four still, and we've played a good few teams. I think I know what he's where Kev's coming from is, you know, to continue, you know, we talked about the kind of the fixture congestion,
injuries, suspension.
It's going to happen. Something's going to happen. It has to. We can't go.
I think if you're going to be flippant, you need to strengthen everywhere to finish sixth.
That's true.
Because if you look at the six teams that you would expect to be up there, they've all got much stronger squads across the board. Like, you could look at the first teams and you could say they don't have that much better first team, so you don't necessarily have to strengthen what's in the first 11. But they've got better squads and they'll be less affected by injuries and suspensions,
rotations.
If I had to pick some positions, I would say we need a centre-half.
Definitely.
I would say we could do with a...
Left winger?
I would say we could do with a left-back. Or a right back, depending on where he sees Santon.
Needs to be a utility player as well, someone that can't fit in either way. You know?
Depending on what he sees Santon as being, is he a specialised right or left back? Then
is he a utility player?
Do we replace Simpson with Santon and get a proper left back in? Do we put Santon in at left back? And then do we have to look at improving on Simpson? Because I like Simpson, I think he's a decent enough player, but I would be far more comfortable with the back four if he was a reserve fullback.
But then I look at it and I think, you know what, without Tuote, we would have been knackered in the last couple of games or so. I'm trying to get the point of, I never thought Danny Guthrie would be able to step up to the level that he has done in the past couple of games.
Just touches on what I was going to say as well, because if you'd asked this question at the start of the season, where do we need to strengthen, I guarantee all three we would have said up front.
Aye. That's true. It's all sort of circumstantial, isn't it, really? And depending on how people are performing.
But that's what the question's about, isn't it?
No. Players are
overperforming. So do you strengthen areas where you think the players aren't actually good enough and are just outperforming themselves? Or do you strengthen the areas of genuine weakness? No answer to that?
No, there isn't.
Not currently. We're not
partying. But I think he'd buy a striker. Having said all of that, I think they'll bring a striker.
He's already supposed to sign that chap from Sosho, isn't
chap.
He? So chap. Hello, chap.
Hello there.
Okay. Well,
I've always got shoulder at the end of the day. So
yeah, I mean, it was a good. It's a good question.
Roll him a few weeks before the derby, play him in the derby.
Just keep him in stasis. Well, Walt Disney just frees him. As soon as he's fit, stick
like
him in.
That Photoshop that day, he comes out with like a massive beard and huge and fingernails and that.
Austin Powers style evacuation
comedy. These cats form the new life form.
To be fair, you've got the same specs as Shola, I've just realised. He was pictured last week wearing similar gaps.
He's probably seen the picture of us, hasn't he? Really shite seat shirt.
He went to the specs here as a gun. Yeah, get me these gaps. Yeah, Specsavers. Get a cheese caps, man.
Have you got any hats?
I need some caps because I think my house has been burgled, but actually it was just fucking messy.
What, Lionel Messi robbed his house?
Aye.
Well, you mean Messi. Oh, Rita.
Took his PS2.
Maybe Super NES. So, anyway, good question, Kev. The answer is everywhere and nowhere to that question.
At how indecisive we were to answer that. Though.
Well, we couldn't answer it really. Nah.
Good question.
Good question. So, At the Lonely Robot asked us to talk about what a dude Sam Amiobi is. I think we already.
He is the boy for sure.
The Fresh Prince. Obviously, he loved that picture as well. So that just shows what a affable fellow he is. good stuff. I hope, yeah, I hope the club doesn't ruin him. I don't think it will.
He's got Shaw. He's got Shaw as a brother, though.
Ah, great to see him play for the under-21s as well. Right. I know he got
played well as well.
He did. He got some good congratulations from other people around the country as well. So, I mean, Shaw, if you remember back, Shaw always put in a, you know, good performances for the under-21s. I remember seeing him play against Turkey and scoring goals.
Didn't Sven say that he would play for the play for the full side eventually? Because I think Sven liked him.
But then you get the old boys club in after Sven left, and that's it. You've had it. So, I mean,
talking to Shola, he's just got clearance to play for Nigeria.
So, yeah, another player we could use in
excuse me, madam. I am calling from Nigerian FA. I am wondering if you'd like to play for my country. fuck off, mate.
You're not getting any money.
You stay good hats over there.
I am telling truth. Just need your bank and bill.
Why have you went in to, like, a Chinaman?
That's racist, that Matthew.
I know. Sorry.
I can help you like that woman on the tram.
I haven't seen that yet. I've heard about it, though.
Topical racist jokes. Fucking hell. We're getting slim off iTunes, aren't we?
I didn't want to go down your racist route now. So,
yeah, you're a racist now, Palmer.
How did you get into that sort of thing? You know, I don't think I can devote any more time to the old racism, you know.
Fucking Greeks.
So, Shutler, S-H-U-T-L-A.
I know Shutler. All right. Life. Nice lad.
Has asked why we think North East teams don't get any players picked for the England team, I think, because...
because Cabello's never seen them before.
Right, for the simple fact that he does not come further than at Manchester.
You know, if you had a map of the British Isles, there would just be a line kind of north of Manchester in a straight line just saying, teams I care about below, teams I don't care about above.
Too close to Scotland.
It would just say... I'll go to those games below and above that. Fuck that.
Does he not send there Robert Downey Jr. To the North East? You know, the one who looks, his assistant looks
he's
like Robert Downey Jr.
Stuart Pearce.
He's what? Where's women's clothing? Oh, translator!
And he is odd.
No, look at him. He's a spitting dabs of Robert Downey Jr. He always looks like he did as well. No, but,
is he Carlican?
He's got an Italian name, hasn't he? Anyway, by the by, but you'll know what I mean next time you see him if you haven't already realised. But
he's bound to be called Anthony.
I think we already know that Shutler, so hopefully new manager after the championships might bring some.
One fresh comment on that though, the thing that pisses me off is that Capello actually said once when he was asked that he didn't need to come to St James's Park in the stadium alone because he saw those teams playing in London.
Away from home.
Away from home, where the players aren't playing their best because they're away from home. Or they're not in their natural environment, so he's not going to see them at
the peak. The bloke also said he would play players who are on form, yet Bolton hadn't won a game and he hired Tim Cahill in. Not Tim Cahill, Gary Cahill.
Didn't he score?
I don't know. Irrespective,
though. Point stands, though.
No, I know what you mean, though, but he did score.
I mean, come on, man. We're arguing about our players, but how the hell is Micah Richards not in the England squad?
Right, it's true.
For crying out loud. The kid would probably be Man City's best player this season, and he's not even in the squad. I don't think it's just us. We didn't get a fair deal, but I think Capello.
He's got favourites. I think a lot of managers have.
He's off his tits, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he is. It's because he drives that fucking van with that cat delivering all them letters from eBay.
He's from Middlesbrough.
Is he the smoggy postman,
Pat? He's either fucking postman, Pat.
He's either postman Pat, right?
Or he's fucking Sweet Chuck from Police Academy. Or he's a combo of them both.
Well, he looks like Mel B from Sweet Pat.
But it's just his gurn, you know.
He is a tit, like, and he's
probably I need a picture of that, mate, because that was epic.
So we've answered that one. Jody Allen says, has asked if Ashley is going to sell Tiote or buy better players to strengthen the squad, similar to Kev's. I think yes and no. Yeah, I would agree with that. Saying what we've seen with Carroll. I think
even Pardew learned his lesson last year with Carroll, didn't he?
He's not going to make that mistake again.
He was asked the other day, you know, is Tiote going to be sold? And last year when he said Carroll would not be sold, this year he said, well, if one of the big clubs comes in with a lot of money,
with a ridiculous offer,
chances are then he probably will. And it's just that comes back to what we were saying the other just before, is when they come out on an answer honestly like that.
Sorry,
I started club singing. Always believe in you.
Talking about someone with a club foot.
What was I saying?
Kasabian.
What the fuck was I saying? What was happening?
I can't remember.
Some bollocks about Teote being sold and money and...
Oh, fuck it, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, does it?
It clearly wasn't important.
Nobody's listening anyway.
He's just going to buy a load of fucking Lonsdale jackets or something after he sells Teote and then poison his shop. So, anyway, I think it's time for another break, I think.
Oh, there would have been a part three, yeah. Had I not dropped an almighty bollock and accidentally right-clicked and deleted this section, there was a big chunk where we predicted the scores of the games coming up and other sort of bollocks. But, well, I deleted it, so you'll have to do without it. Sorry, Leg. So to make up for it, here's some clips of Vic Reeves singing in the club style of Shooting Stars. I hope it makes up for it. Bye.
Nip it down, won't it, dilly, b-b-b-bone. That's on the fire. Keep the feeling it's name. Super, hey, it's good. Hey, hood. Hey, that you get your feeling more.
Hey,
you're in there.